Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, cause it's time for the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. First of all, I must apologise for the fact that we haven't done one of these for ages. And also, I don't want to get your hopes up. There's no guest on this podcast. In fact, it's just me on my own. In my garage. I was supposed to record it yesterday with Ben Green. I announced it on Instagram, and that has been a valuable lesson in not announcing stuff before it's happened, because we didn't end up doing it. So, apologies. Apologies for the fact it's been a little bit of time since the last podcast. Rumadge got married, had a baby, all of that shit, living his life, and I've been busy, so... Well, I was doing League of Their Own. I'm trying to get Jamie Redknapp on the podcast. He's up for it. We just haven't been able to lock it down. So he's an upcoming guest. And also, I spent last night booking up loads of guests because we're going to try and do a few to sort of pay you back for the fact we haven't done any for a while. I say pay you back. I mean, it's free. Do you know what I mean? But yes, it's not right. I get it. I mean, I listen to podcasts. I certainly don't listen to this one, but I do listen to podcasts. And it is annoying when you're expecting one to drop into the thing and it doesn't. Fucking hell, this is why I shouldn't do podcasts on my own. Anyway, I hope you're well. Today's podcast is brought to you by the Black Klansman movie, a Spike Lee joint, also brought to you by producer Jordan Peele, who also brought us the amazing film Get Out. If you don't know what this film is about, it's based on a true story, which I didn't realise. It's based on a black police officer who infiltrates the Ku Klux Klan. He phones them up, and then from then manages to get inside. And this film is about the true story of what happened from that point. It is relevant to our times, and the film explains why it's relevant to our times. And it also got a 12-minute standing ovation at the Cannes Film Festival and won the Jury Grand Prix. I went to watch it the other day with Nick Helm. He was late. I don't want to sort of cast any aspersions, but I was on time and the white man arrived slightly after the credits started. But we both loved it. Well worth watching. In cinemas, August the 24th. Black Klansman, a Spike Lee joint. Spike Lee's back. Check it out. Loads of stuff has happened since I last spoke to you. The one thing that I haven't had a chance to talk to you about is this sort of quadruple threat, I should say, of these Kanye-produced albums that came out. And I'm talking about Pusha T's album, Daytona, Ye, Kanye's album, Kid See Ghosts by Kanye and Kid Cudi, and Nazir by Nas. So I'm just going to go through these albums one by one before I talk to you about other stuff I've been listening to. Well, I guess when you talk about the Pusha T album, first of all, I guess what you want to talk about is this Whitney Houston cover, where Kanye paid, I think it's like $80,000 to... this is all old news now, but I'm just talking it through. Just fucking deal with it. I'm assuming that you don't get any hip-hop news apart from this podcast, so there you go. I mean, if you do, you are going to be very badly informed. But Daytona, yeah, so the album cover, Kanye West basically paid $80,000 to get a picture of Whitney Houston's album, bathroom, sorry, like with all the drugs, paraphernalia and all that shit. I'm just looking at it as I'm talking. I do understand Kanye's reasons for it, because Pusha T talks about drugs all the time. But I don't know, I get the drugs connection, but it's a fairly literal reason to have that album cover. I don't understand. If you listen to the album, it just doesn't sort of tie up. I don't know, maybe it does. Maybe I'm not listening to it on the right level. Maybe I'm too thick to appreciate it. What I would say is the Pusha T album is sick. I mean, it is wicked. I love every track on it. And I say I love every track on it. It's not that hard. There's only seven. But I do love... Oh, by the way, can we talk about this seven-track thing? I'm not into it. I understand why. What reason did they give? Seven's a good number. It means that you just get gold. But just don't call it an album. I mean, what am I talking about? I didn't even pay for it. I've just fucking downloaded it. So you know what? I'm a hypocrite. Fine, you want to do seven track albums, do seven track albums, mate. I would. What my argument would be is maybe not call it an album. Call it. What? What's wrong with EP? Is it? What is EP? When does EP become an LP? I should Google this before I talk about it. Anyway, the point is the Pusha T album, EP, seven tracker, mini project is wicked. I loved it. If you know, you know, might be my tour walk on song. I love it that much. If you know, you know. This thing of ours, oh, this thing of ours. A fraternity of drug dealers ringing off. I just happen to be alumni. Too legit, they still looking at me with one eye. The company I keep is not corporate enough. Child, rebel, soldier, you ain't orphan enough. A rapper turned trapper can't morph into us. But a trapper turned rapper can morph into puff. I feel like I could hear Pusha T just rap forever. Just his voice, the ugh, all of that shit. I love it. I don't care that the subject matter is fairly varied, not varied in the slightest. I like it. I'm good. I'm a fan. So yeah, he's even got Rick Ross in it, who I don't give a shit about. I even like that track. What I didn't like is the Kanye cameo. Where, like, I mean, he's. I find it difficult to say what I don't like about Kanye, because actually, if I'm being honest with you, I think he's got serious mental issues and he needs an intervention. And the thing is, people talk about how, you know, you got to reach out to people. This guy's a family man, and I think he's been enabled to be. I mean, look at me. I've got no fucking clue. But I'm basing that on what? On what little I've read. I still don't give a shit. I think he needs an intervention. He's mad. He's mad. Like, even if, let's just take this slavery is a choice comment, okay? Which, if you examine it, has some, I guess, some intellectual rigor to it. Even if you thought that, if you were sane, you would not say that out loud without having some really specific arguments to back that up. You can't go on fucking TMZ and just denounce it. Do you know what I mean? It just feels like, it doesn't feel like the work of somebody that's fully got it together. Do you know what I mean? And also, what did he say now? He identifies with Alexander McQueen. Just, I don't know, get a writer in and maybe work out some of the bullet points before you come out and speak publicly. That would be my advice to you. Anyway, Pusha T album, I liked. Moving on. The actual Kanye album, yay. So, after spending $80,000 on Pusha T's album cover, Kanye just takes a photo of a view he saw on the way to his listening party and then, like, uses his fucking phone app to put some sort of slogan on. What's it say? I don't give a shit. Anyway, the point is the album's crap. I just sort of think, like, if... And people, you feel free to disagree with me, but you don't need my permission to disagree with me, do you? You don't need me to... You weren't sitting there going, oh, God, are we allowed to have a different opinion to Roman? Oh, no, he's confirmed that we can. I just think it's awful. I Thought About Killing You, the opening track on it, is like, it just feels like someone that thinks they're being profound, but they're just not. And I think if you're doing seven tracks, every single thing has to be watertight, and it just isn't on this album. There's stuff on it that feels like you might stick on a 25 tracker, you know, if you're trying to pad it out for some reason, if you're trying to do a double album or something, not on a seven track what's meant to be your tightest work. So anyway, there you go. I'm whipping through these because, I'll be honest with you, the truth is, I listened to the Ye album a couple of times, I haven't listened to it since, I just don't give a shit about it. Now, Kids See Ghosts. I love this album. I think it's great. I think Cuddy's great on it. I think Kanye's better on this than he is on his solo album. It took me long enough to rap on this, strong enough. Pay the shit, just gonna give up. Cause Ye just gonna live up to everything that sucks to you and us, never enough. Thought I'd be clever enough to give up while I'm ahead. I like breakfast in bed, but I love breakfast ahead. For anybody who said that I was better off dead, told them don't ever leave nothing that you ever read. Got a Bible by my bed, oh yes, I'm very Christian. Constantly. I like the title track. I like Free. I like all of it. There's only five other songs that I've mentioned, because there's all seven tracks in it now. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of Kids See Ghosts. Check it out. And then the Nas album. What's to say about this? I felt a little bit Well, there's some controversy surrounding Nas, isn't there? Because you will have read, I'm sure, that Nas, that Khalees has come out, Nas's ex-wife has come out and said that Nas was abusive to them, abusive to her, during their relationship. And when Chris Brown, when physically abused Rihanna, that she thought about coming out with it and she hasn't done it. Now she has come out of it. I think that probably what I would argue is the biggest confirmation that it happened is her saying it. I think they're pretty serious allegations. But I think what is confirmation over and above that is the fact that he's not denied it at all. In fact, I don't think I've heard any comment about it, really. He's sort of just ignored it, which is normally the sign of somebody that's just hoping it's going to go away. And it seems to have. I mean, what is the deal with this? Like, I don't know, because, like, I am a big Richard Pryor fan, and Richard Pryor did some awful, 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 horrific shit to the women in his life. And I'm still a Pryor fan. I've got him tattooed on my arm. And then I thought, I don't know if I should even be listening to this album because of what Nas did. What is my fucking moral code here? I'm not, it's a rhetorical question, but I sort of think that probably the correct thing to do is to stop listening to any of these people or stop engaging with any of these people. I don't know the background of it. Does that matter that I don't know the background of it? Because am I ever going to be in a position to make a judgment of it? And what am I doing? Am I listening to this story and reading this story with the hope that I can still continue listening to Nas? Okay, the truth of it is the reason I've been thinking about it more than usual is it just feels like Nas hasn't really, because of his legendary status, he's not getting any flack for this. Or if he is, I certainly haven't read about it. Do you know what I mean? It actually doesn't seem to be a big deal, and that's pretty fucked up, really. So if anybody can enlighten me on this, I mean, I might be being ignorant about this, but, like, he was abusive to his wife, and he also did that song Daughters. So what is the point I'm trying to make here? There is no point. Yes, there is a point. The point is I think Nas has got away with it, and I think that's wrong. So if somebody can... If somebody can give me some information that can inform my view on this, I mean, I could Google it, but if somebody's got, like, what they consider to be a definitive viewpoint on this, then please feel free to email romesh88@hotmail.com. Anyway, the long and the short of it is, it's meant that I haven't really listened to the... Well, I had a cursory listen to the Nas album, and then I started to feel... I don't know. I just sort of started to feel a bit funny about it. So, anyway, there you go. That's the situation. Okay, what else have I been listening to? I have listened to... Oh, okay, so there's two albums I want to recommend for this episode of the podcast. The first one is The Bridge and the Abyss by Jedi Mind Tricks. I like Jedi Mind Tricks a lot, but this album is just... It's just great. I love it. I properly love it, as in can't stop listening to it, love it. I expect enough and less, his dummy came with his man. But as stupid as he is, he should have came with a plan. See, technologically, this is enslaving a man. The harder the abode of the believers in shame. Whether you speak Yoruba, Santeria, and witchcraft. I ain't even know they made a rollie for your bitch ass. All it take a little bit of buzz for you to get gas. Enjoy yourself, stupid, the shit'll be over quick fast. There is there are 19 songs on this, and everyone's a banger, with the exception of Marciano's Rain. I just don't like it. And I'm not going to go into why I don't like it. Well, I can do a little bit. He talks about rain and I don't like it. It just feels like... it feels like, for certain parts of that song, it feels like a rap song that your geography teacher might make about precipitation. There you go. But apart from that, I feel bad. I've just focused on the negative side of it. The rest of it is absolutely incredible. I love it. Vinnie Paz is an amazing MC. I thoroughly recommend it. It gets 4.5 ROMs out of 5. Okay, there you go. The other album that I want to recommend to you for this podcast is Denzel Curry's Taboo. What the fuck you think you're trying to creep on? Put a nigga in a black Nissan. I'm a nigga Freddie went sleep on. Catch a nigga in a bush doing recon. Can't find a body in the alley. Got him out the club like a caddy. I'ma push a button like an innie. Switch it up and then I hit the Cali. Drop a little bitch nigga up. Put your body parts in the bag. Put your body parts in the concrete. Spread the concrete across the whole city. Plug a nigga up like a damn idiot. Voice in my head got too many. album, I wasn't fully aware of Denzel Curry, mainly because he's sort of like, what's the best way to describe it? I sort of considered him to be one of these like SoundCloud-y type rappers. And somebody recommended his latest album to me. And I don't know, because basically what happened was, is like, I've become aware of the fact that actually I might have been guilty of only listening to hip-hop that's sort of throwback, if you like. That's a little bit old school in vibe. And that certainly is the case for a lot of my recommendations, is sort of stuff that's like, it sounds like the old boom bap stuff, right? So so this album is not like that. I mean, Denzel Curry is a great, is a very good rapper. He can definitely spit, right? Oh, he can definitely spit. Here's the thing, right? Hip-hop slang, I'm like a dad of three. I'm like practically middle-aged. Should I be even saying things like he can spit? Let me know. Anyway, the point is this album is sort of, it does definitely sound of its time. This album is a 2018 album, right? So, but I just loved it. I thought it was great. I love every track on it. It's, he mixes up his styles. The production's great. He deals with some pretty serious subject matter. He's obviously putting himself out there on the album. I thought it was excellent. What I would say is, you sort of, I don't know if you can tell, I'm slightly hesitant. The reason is because it's possible that based on my past recommendations, you might listen to this album and think, I don't know why Ramesh has recommended this. But what I would say is, it's great. Maybe the album of the year so far. That's my opinion. I just think it is brave and the production's great and he can write a hook. There's all those things going for it. I read an interview with him where he sort of talked about the fact that he has to write a hook to make it sell. And obviously you don't want to read, as a hip hop fan, you sort of think, oh, I hope he just does his own thing and then like people like it. But I guess people have to think about that kind of shit, you know. It's the world we live in. Do you know what I mean?
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, so moving on. I, a while ago, and I mentioned it on this podcast so far today, I have talked about this website, this email address that I wanted you to send stuff to. And I haven't responded to a single email. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at some of these emails now, but I'm not doing this, I'm just warning you now, I'm not doing this in an organised way now, but I will do it in an organised way at some point. So if you do have a new thing you want to say to me, or there's something I've said that you don't like, just get in touch with me, I guess. Okay. Philip Bradford, very, very short email from Philip Bradford, says, would love to see Dirty Dyke on the podcast. I've literally just messaged Dirty Dyke about getting on the podcast. We were supposed to have him a while ago, and then our recording thing was too early in the morning for him, so he couldn't do it. So there you go, Philip Bradford, your wish is my command. I mean, I don't want to give you that impression. I was going to get Dirty Dyke on there, so I don't want you to feel like you've got any kind of power. Okay, next email, Mark Corelli. Big fan, learned about you from the Showtime show, wondering your thoughts on Jedi Mind Tricks. If you haven't heard them, check out the Servants in Heaven, Kings of Hell album. I have heard that album, and I've just recommended their other album. So, Mark, your wish is my command. At this point, it looks like I'm just picking emails that I've already dealt with. Okay, Sarah Vaughan. Let me start by saying that I'm a huge fan of this podcast. I've listened to a couple of episodes. Now onto the crux of this email. So there's a lot of good stuff here about how great I am and how great Roomage is and how great Ben Green is and how great the podcast is. But there's a criticism. Onto the crux of this email. I've noticed through my extensive listening of your podcast that female hip-hop artists are not often mentioned, apart from Lauryn Hill, of course. I know there aren't many female hip-hop artists, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on more of the some of the classic rappers like Lil' Kim, Missy Elliott, Foxy Brown, Salt and Pepper, and maybe also the newer ones too. Lady Lashur, Kate Tempest, Little Sims, Jungle Pussy, etc. On this vein, I'd also like to ask if you consider bringing on more female hip-hop fans on for your podcast. I really enjoyed the Sarah Pascoe episode recently, and also the Catherine Ryan one from early on in the days of the podcast. Maybe a female MC or hip-hop artist could be an option. Anyway, thanks again for an excellent podcast, and big love to Roomage 2. Sarah Vaughan, you are not the only person that has made this criticism of our podcast. Well, actually, you are the first person that said we don't talk about female hip-hop artists enough. And you're right, we should do. I apologise for that oversight. The thing that I am more upset about, not because I think it's any more important, but the fact is I'm slightly led by our guests on who we talk about. But look, there's not an excuse that we need to talk about female hip-hop artists more. You haven't mentioned... I think my favourite female rapper is Ra Digga. A D for Rod Digger from Flip Mode. I just thought she's amazing. If he's the little mama, lip blasting Alana. The only shit popping like White Castle or the Donna. Rod Digger makes the joint stack, the DJs blast. Ghetto Diva in the sauce with the 3-page ad. Watch as the hood rap Messiah climbs swiftly. Labels scared to death to let they artists rhyme with me. Cause you can send your thuggers MC and watch me sun them. The ruggedest bitch don't even rhyme about gunning. There you go, dealt with. No, I'm joking. We're going to talk a bit more about it. Next one. Catherine Ricer. Again, she's just saying she likes a podcast, which is nice. By the way, you can keep sending those. What I should do is just vet them, because nobody wants to hear me read stuff out about how people like the podcast. Okay, so this is from Queveen McGee. I hope I've got that right. This says, you ever watched The Breakdown by Hip Hop DX on YouTube? No, I haven't, but I will do. Emailing to ask your opinion on Eminem's best verse. I change my mind regularly on this, but at the minute, I can't get past his second verse in Obie Trice's song, Lady. I'm sure you've heard it, but if not, get on it. It's great. See you in Dublin if you're over anytime soon. Okay, thank you very much, Cleveland, for your email. If I've mispronounced your name, I'm very sorry. I'm being more apologetic than I like to on this podcast, and I've got to be honest with you, I think it's because I'm on my own in a garage and it's really making me lose confidence. Eminem's best verse. I have definitely heard Lady, but it doesn't stick out in the memory, but I probably shouldn't listen to it again. I think Eminem's best lyrics are on... Well, he did this freestyle, didn't he? If you look up Eminem Mobb Deep freestyle... he does this thing about making up his own language, and it's just funny. But also, I like Any Man off the Sound Bombing Volume 2. I think, I just think that track's so good. And then he closes it by going, "Sign, sign, 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 I get weeded. My daughter scribbled over that rhyme. I couldn't read it." I just think it's such a fucking great closing line. Although, logically, doesn't make sense, because... it's a massive coincidence, isn't it? If it goes something, 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 I get weeded. And then that happens to rhyme with the fact that he's commenting on the previous line being scribbled out. Fuck me. Okay, Charlie Harvey. Rom, you asked for opinions. So just an email to give a few suggestions. And I'm very excited to know that Ocean Wisdom is appreciated by Big Nose. I went to the Ocean Wisdom gig. Where the fuck was it? In Camden. And it was amazing. It was unbelievable. Like, it was such a good gig. There were loads of Hip Hop Saved My Life fans there. Thank you so much for coming up to me and saying hello and saying thank you. for the podcast. I very much appreciated that. I don't know if you, like, I sort of started to hesitate there because I get nervous. I get, one of the things I don't want to sound like is a wanker. And what I mean by that is somebody going, thanks a lot for all the people that are coming up, showing love to the podcast. Like, does that sound arrogant? It's not, I mean, I'm just sort of saying thank you. It's sort of, it's meant to be gratitude. But as soon as I started saying it, it sounds, in my head, there's this voice going, mate, you sound a bit up yourself. It sounds like you're like saying everyone that you got bigged up at the gig. You know what? I did. Some people came up and said thanks for the podcast. So do you know what? Fuck you, mate. All right? This is a man having a breakdown in a garage. Anyway, the point is, the Ocean Wisdom gig was good. It was amazing. P Money was there. Rodney P was there. Dizzy Rascal was there. It was a great gig. If you missed it, you missed out. And it sounds like Ocean Wisdom is smashing it. So, all good. Okay, back to the emails. Auto-tuning rap. This is a funny guy. Love the show, blah, blah, blah. So even he knows it's tiresome. It's not tiresome. I like reading about the thing, but just like me reading it out. Anyway, last week's show with Jordan Stevens. Okay, this is what I received this a while ago. Book of Ryan by Royce the 5'9". You're old enough, like me, to remember rap before Cher started that autotune shit. I hate anything with autotune being a hip-hop, it drives me nuts. It adds nothing. Autotune is used to help people's voices and they can't quite sing. Rappers are not singing, so why use it? Be interested in your thoughts. I don't know, man. I used to be, like, just a bit snobby about this. You shouldn't be using autotune, and I don't like 808s and Heartbreak, and somebody messaged me recently and said, your mind changed on it, and no, it hasn't. But the thing is, how can it have changed? I haven't gone back and listened to it. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back and listen to it, all right? And now I just don't care. I just sort of think, like, if you like the track, you like the track. Do you know what I mean? I just sort of think, like, yes, autotune, rappers singing, people have an opinion on, rappers singing with autotune, people have an opinion on. Just because I don't particularly, at the moment, I don't believe I like 808s and Heartbreak, doesn't mean I'm against rappers doing it as such. Like, if rappers want to do it, they want to do it. And then they just make a choice on a record-by-record basis, don't you? I sort of can't be asked to have, like, hard and fast rules about stuff anymore. I just sort of think, if it's good, it's good. If it's not, it's not. If I don't like it, I won't listen to it. So that's kind of the attitude. I mean, that is basically, I'm explaining consumerism. Do you know what I mean? Why I've suddenly decided that some sort of revelation is amazing. But it is a revelation to me, because it used to be a situation where I'd, like, if I heard that there was something on a track, like, there's a time when I fucking wouldn't even listen to West Coast hip-hop. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'd just be like, if it's not from New York, I don't want to hear it. And, like, you just sort of stop having those rules, don't you? And now I don't have any rules. I'm like the Maverick. I'm like a Maverick, man. Just go with the flow or whatever. Right, I think we're done here, haven't we? So, listen, I just want to say thank you so much for your patience. I'm going to be coming back with loads more episodes. I've booked in loads of guests. It's going to be great. Thank you so much for listening. I'm sorry if you didn't like this episode. It's only a little mini episode. Please do, when it comes out, go and watch Black Klansman. It genuinely is a good film. Great film. And if you've got any things you want to talk to me about, email romesh88@hotmail.com. I have been Romesh Ranganathan. I'll see you next time. Peace out.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.